from the Golden One Center to Drive, guys. And we're getting ready, of course, for the Kings and the Hawks. Hope to be checking in with Bob Rathburn, longtime voice of the Hawks here. Kings tonight will be wearing, Kyle just informed me, that's a city edition uniform. So that's kind of the 100 years tribute jerseys, kind of like the old Cincinnati Royals looking jerseys. It's a nice look.
I love those. Yeah, those are nice jerseys. No, it doesn't have the purple that fans.
No purple,
see,
blue but, and but, yeah, blue
but
and red.
Those are pretty sweet, actually.
There's a really cool article in The Athletic about how difficult it is for the NBA to figure out who's wearing which jerseys which nights. Because it used to be, a home team wears white.
Yeah, it used to be.
Yeah, and now it's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Wow.
Because the home team rarely wears white anymore.
Who gets to decide? Like, who gets the first choice? You know?
I think the home team gets first choice, okay. The road team gets second choice. But sometimes, like, well, wait, you can't both wear red.
Right.
You know, so then somebody's got to step in. Our next guest remembers when it was a lot simpler. He's been the play-by-play voice of the Hawks since 1996. Pleasure to welcome to the Drive, guys, Bob Rathburn. Bob, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, without Trae Young tonight, how much more do the Hawks need from DeJounte Murray?
A lot. That is a lot to take out of our lineup. He's the ninth leading scorer, is Trae, second in assists, 10th in steals. He's the focal point of pretty much everything we do offensively. But we've been able to hang in there. This will be the fourth game that he's missed, and we're 2-1 of the games that he's been absent. He got smoked pretty good Saturday night, so he's in concussion protocol. We probably won't see him on this trip. We go right back home. We just come out here for two games, which is nuts, and then turn around and go home. We're home Friday night against Dallas. But DJ's got to step up, but we all have to step up. I mean, it is it's hard on the road, and without Trae, it makes it a little tougher.
Bob, one guy we've seen step up is DeJounte Murray. Obviously, you were able to call back-to-back game winners from him. What has he been like with the organization? And just speak to, what he brings to the table and what Kings fans can expect from him tonight.
Well, I'm sure you all remember him from San Antonio when he was a visitor that was here often. It's the same DJ. You get scoring, kind of the king of the mid-range. Very good defensively. He's starting tonight, 14th in the league in steals, but he's having his best year in terms of his three-point shooting. He's getting up 6 a game, which is a career high, 38%, which is solid, and his best overall shooting percentage in his career at 47%. So he's really put together a fine season. It's going to be tough, and it's one of the reasons I think you hear all the trade rumors is because you've got two ball-dominant point guards trying to coexist in the same backcourt. And I think Quinn Snyder does a very good job of staggering the minutes, so they're not out there together all the time. But start of the game, end of the game, Trae and DeJounte are there together. But tonight it'll have a completely different look. DeJounte played in Miami, I want to say close to 40 minutes, in a game, as you mentioned, went right down to the wire. So I would think he'll be out there tonight. He'll draw Fox, and, that's a tough night of work for anybody. And he's going to have to play some major minutes. We're not that deep. We're a little banged up, and the depth that we do have is not at the point guard position. So it'll be a long night for DJ. He'll be out there quite a long time.
Catching up with the TV voice of the Hawks, Bob Rathburn, and Bob, the Hawks have, as you say, they're a little shorthanded now. So much talent on the roster. It's hard to believe that they're only 18-24. I know that they have struggled on the defensive end, but why is a team with that much talent, why have they struggled to the point of being 6 games under 500 to this point?
Well, it sounds like an excuse, guys, and I don't mean it to be that way, but injuries. We went through a stretch with Jalen Johnson out for 14 games, and we went 4-10. We haven't seen DeAndre Hunter in a month. These are two of your best defenders. I mean, Hunter is our best wing defender, and we haven't had him, basically half the season. That's a little bit much for us to overcome. We've had fits and starts with our bench. It's been a little tough for us. Bogey's been great. But A.J. Griffin, who we counted on to really be a force in the rotation, after a great rookie season, has been nowhere to be found. He's fallen out of the rotation. Onyeka Okongwu has not played nearly the spirited basketball that he did a year ago. So, yeah, good players, good team, but it's been a struggle. And defensively, we have been quite poor.
Bob Rathburn joining us. Bob, you mentioned Jalen Johnson and just his impact. Speak to, if you would, just the night and day difference he makes for this team.
Well, he's the one piece on the chessboard that Quinn can move around a little bit. You know, he's 6'8", 6'9". He can play inside. He can play outside. He can shoot it. He's over close to 40% on his threes. He's 16th in the league in shooting overall. He can pass the ball. He can rebound. He can run. He can fill the wing. He can guard your best wing or four, for that matter. He can rebound the ball. He's over 8 boards a game. I mean, this kid has just blossomed. I think if we were winning, he would get a lot more attention nationally for most improved. He's been really, really good. And we missed him. And this all changed for us when he went down. I don't know what happened to the team chemistry or, you know, the togetherness, but it kind of shocked the system. And we, quite frankly, haven't recovered. Even though he's been back and playing, we haven't been able to string the wins together like we did when he was healthy. As I mentioned, we were 4-10 without him. So this guy's a very valuable piece, and I think the sky's the limit. This kid's just 22 years old. He's in his third year, really didn't play much his first two seasons. So for him to come on like this has really been good.
Bob Rathbun, the legendary voice of the Hawks with us here, Drive Guys. And I know this may be somewhat painful memory for you, Bob, but I wanted to ask you about the last time these two teams played. I mean, what impressed you the most about the way the Kings were able to come back in Atlanta last month?
Oh, my goodness. That was as weird a game as either team has seen, right? I mean, you guys have seen some big leads go away recently, and that was the night where you guys came back. I mean, our first quarter, we looked like the 86 Celtics in the first quarter. I think we're up, what, Kyle, 23, I think?
Yep.
And
31-8 at one point, yeah.
Yep, and it all melted for us in the fourth quarter when De'Aaron got going. So it was a weird one, that's for sure. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, it was Herter's homecoming. He still remembered fondly in Atlanta. And I think he hurt his hand, like, in the first minute of the game.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
Yeah, he got yanked. Barnes got yanked. So it was like two starters out, and they still did that to us. So, but, you know, you talk about games. I haven't recovered from the first Kings-Hawks game, which was on November the 15th of 1949. You know, Rochester got us 93-81, but we didn't have a chance. They had four Hall of Famers in that game. They had no chance.
Bob Rathbun joining us. Bob, great stuff. You broadcast with the Hall of Famer, Dominique Wilkins. What's that like for you night in and night out? Because every time I see Dominique, I'm still in awe. And he still looks like he could go out there and get about 15 points a game.
Well, I thought you were going to say you broadcast that first game in 1949.
Right.
Working with Neek is a blast. He's not here tonight. He's got this week off. Yeah, he didn't come on this one. Bron Oliver's going to be with me. But Neek's got a son who's a junior in high school on the best team in the state, and he's taking some time to catch some of his games.
Okay.
And so he's off on this trip, but it is a blast. I have known him since he was in high school. We both grew up in North Carolina, and I had a chance to call one of his high school games and a game at Georgia. And, of course, we've been together for 15 years in the NBA with the Hawks. He's, I think, the most approachable superstar this league's ever produced.
Yeah.
I mean, he signs every autograph. He takes every picture. He is a legend and in the broadest sense of the term, because he's as big now in Atlanta as he's ever been. And he hasn't played in 30 years. He is the face of the franchise and always will be. And I'm privileged to work with him and call him friend.
That's Bob Rathbun, voice of the Hawks. Nice enough to join us here as we get ready for the Hawks and the Kings at the Golden One Center. Bob, fans around here, as you well know, are always going to be big Bogey fans. It looks like he's having a real good year for the Hawks. Tell us about Bogey and how beloved he is by his teammates and what he's contributed to the Hawks since leaving Sacramento.
Sure. He's beloved in Atlanta. I assume as he was beloved here.
Yeah.
He'll start tonight with Trey out, but you know, he's going to smash Wayne Ellington's record for threes off the bench. He's been marvelous. And everybody fell in love with him because, you know, we've had some pretty good teams over the last few years, and Bogey's been a big part of it. We just say thank you to Sacramento for not matching the offer sheet. You know, after Milwaukee got their wrist slapped, you know, we were able to swoop in there and get him. And he's such a great pro. You know, he's no spring chicken. We got to kind of nurse him along, not playing heavy minutes with his knees and stuff. But he's the same guy that I think you all remember from here. He's always got a smile on his face. He's a tremendous competitor, great teammate. We're lucky to have him.
We appreciate your time, Bob. So if the Hawks come out with a little extra fire tonight, I assume that'll be because Quinn Snyder will pump them up about that original Hawks-Kings game in the 40s.
Yeah, I told Quinn this morning, sure, we got screwed. We didn't go to the line. I mean, it was awful. And, Quinn's coaching his 700th game tonight, fellas. He just won number 400. He and Mike Brown, as you know, go way back.
Yep.
As he was on Mike's staff with the Lakers for a year. And, boy, are we thrilled to have him. Quinn and I go back to when he was a junior at Duke.
Wow.
And I was calling his games in the ACC. So we've had a long friendship, and I'm thrilled he's in Atlanta.
Bob, thanks for your time. Have a great call. We appreciate it very much and hope to talk to you again soon.
You got it, guys.
All right, Bob. See you in a little bit.
Yeah, Bob Rathbun, right, okay. Legendary voice of the Hawks. What's the 49ers' biggest concern getting ready for the Lions this week? We're right back with that from the Golden One Center. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Well, that was great catching up with Bob Rathbun, but he did happen to mention that Dominique's not here, so I'm wondering how Kyle Draper's going to get him on the show today after promising.
Oh, man, I'm bummed.
That Neek would be with us today.
I didn't know Neek wasn't on the
show. You heard him, RJ. Promised.
I said if Neek walked in this building, I got him. He's coming up. But I did not know Neek was not going to be in the building today. That hurts.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get Mitch on. We'll get Brock on. Oh, we'll get Dominique on. But I guess he still could come on because I think Jay actually reached
out. Jay's efforting.
Yeah.
Jay's efforting. Jay, what's the latest on Neek? Is he is he at his kid's basketball game or his nephew's basketball game? What's happening, man? Hopefully we get him on. You can't. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We only play the Atlanta Hawks twice.
I know.
I struck out down there in Atlanta because he was on the floor, and I was way up yonder. Now he's not even here. I feel like a loser if I don't deliver Dominique.
Yeah, we'll get him on.
Yeah.
Some point.
Yeah.
He'll probably, you know, he'll come on. Doesn't have to be against the Hawks when we have him on.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's freaking Dominique.
That's Dominique. Anytime you could talk to him, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. You better get him on at some point.
I didn't say when I'd get him on.
Sure.
I said I'd get him on.
Yeah. Let's see. On the chat here, Drape's pretty got that come from behind win. What's your take on it? I'm not sure if I missed it. He knows he didn't play a great game. That's from Cousin Pete. Just wondering how you feel about
that. Cousin Pete said it. Didn't play a great game, but he led a great drive at the end and got the W. And broken clock is right twice a day. And, I thought Brock looked good when it mattered the most. I gave him a B- for a grade. If, you know, he passed the test, he advanced, but I don't think this will be on this game will be, you know, on Brock Purdy's career highlights or anything like that. Maybe that last drive, but he didn't do anything that stood out to me.
I got a question. If a broken clock is right twice a day, when are you going to be right about Brock Purdy?
I said he was a good quarterback. What do you guys want? You want me to, you know, outfit him with a jacket for Canton or something? The dude that. What has he done? He's won, what, 3 playoff games in his career, and you want me to be
– 4. And the other one he got
creamed. He got – exactly. Yeah. He got knocked out. And so give it some time. Like, when you look at – here's the thing about Brock, and I'll call it like I see it. I'm looking at Josh Allen. Tough loss last night. But Josh Allen – his throws are like, he has a cannon.
Sure.
Brock Purdy.
He doesn't take care of the ball very well. But.
Brock Purdy, his completions look almost, how should I put it? Lucky? Not, you know, like, I don't know.
No,
it's,
no,
just
see,
a difference. It's just a difference.
Remember a minute ago when you said, what do you want me to say about Brock Purdy? You hear
no,
what
but
you say
gotta
now?
Admit, it's different. Like,
The throw to Kittle was an amazing throw.
But it was an amazing throw, and I'm like,
he doesn't have the arm strength of Josh Allen.
Josh Allen threw, I think, 70 yards yesterday on that pass to Stephon Diggs. 60 yards that Stephon Diggs dropped. I mean,
that was a great throw.
I just think
didn't do him any good.
Brock Purdy. We did the exercise a few weeks ago. He's probably right around number 10 in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks. That's just where he is.
That's
not a slight.
Top 10 in the NFL.
That's
pretty
that's
good.
Not a slight. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's you're moving up. You're trying to downplay it. He's probably a top 10. Well, here is my question. The reason I brought it up here.
Yeah.
What do you think the 49ers' biggest concern is right now? With the Lions coming up, yeah, they won, but, you know, Brock Purdy wasn't great. Debo hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, the defense got gashed a little bit by the Packers. The Lions, they look like a team of destiny. What do you think the 49ers' biggest concern is right now?
I think the 49ers are at a point where it's not about what the other team does. It's about what you do. Like the Lions, number two in rushing defense. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, am I really up at night worried about that? Not really, because they mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday or Saturday. There have been times where they got five, six guys, seven guys in the box, and they still run it because you got CMC. And so I think if I'm the Niners, my biggest concern is the health of Debo Samuel, to be honest with you, because Debo, to me, opens up the playbook a lot more. You mentioned the run that they had with Jennings should have been a pass. Well, when you got Debo, that's another weapon that teams have to account for. And without that, as much as I love Brandon Ayuk, I don't think he strikes the fear in opposing defenses like Debo does, like CMC does.
You may be right. It's not the way I see it, but that's a strong – I can't really
– Oh, you can't really shoot that down.
No, of course not. But to me, the biggest concern – is Ambry Thomas. Freaking
a playmaker out there. Yeah.
They targeted him five times, the Packers did. Three completions and two massive PIs on third down.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. And it's like, clearly, it's like, they're going, where's number 20? There he is. Pass interference. I mean, I think.
But that's been a concern all year, though, right?
Well, yeah, but now they've got with the safeties, they've had so many injuries to the safeties. Right. Yeah, they're a little shorthanded, and they try, you know, they've tried a number of guys. It has been a weakness all year. You're right. But it was really a weak spot Saturday against the Packers, and they got away with it. But, you know, the Lions are watching all that, and, you know, Goff has to be looking at that and just like drooling as he's watching.
Licking his chops.
So that's a huge concern. I think Debo's going to be okay, maybe just because I hope he is. You know, like you said, it's a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And he's got all whatever it is, he's got a week to rest it. Right?
Yeah.
Put some ice on it.
Yeah, right. Put some icy hot or something. Yeah. Exactly. No, but to your point, Jared Goff has been playing lights out. I mean, he is, you know, obviously, you know, with the Rams, he advanced to the Super Bowl. But, like, coming to the Lions, he's been much better.
Really good.
Than a lot of people.
He's a very gifted passer.
He is a very gifted passer. With that being said, can he deliver in the big games on the road against this defense? The front four, if you get pressure, I mean, that's what it's about. If he doesn't have time to pass, then the secondary isn't as much of a concern, you know. I'm looking at Goff's I'm just looking at some of the numbers. Wow. 74% completion percentage in the postseason. Three touchdowns, zero. He's been lights out. He has been amazing. I don't know. I don't think that worries me as much against this Lions team as it would in the Super Bowl against Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's scary.
Like, then I'm like, "Uh-oh, what are we going to do?" And so I don't know. I will see how it plays out.
The other thing that concerns me about the 49ers, remember last week we talked Friday about something that was in, wherever it was, the Athletic, a scout anonymous scout, NFC scout, was asked, are there any weaknesses with the 49ers? And he said two things. He said, we don't know if they can come from behind.
Right.
And the other thing he said, the offensive line.
Ooh.
And one of the reasons Brock Purdy struggled, the main reason was, is because for some reason he just couldn't complete the simplest passes,
yeah,
which we know he in the past has been automatic. The other thing is there's a lot of times when he was hit just as he was throwing the ball.
Right, right. And that's
– they were in his kitchen.
Yes, and that's a way to rattle Brock Purdy, if you will, get to him. But that's with any quarterback. You know, we saw it with Josh Allen yesterday. You get up in their face, it becomes more difficult. Like when that pass, I forget who it was, for Josh Allen, he is looking into the end zone, came up about 5 yards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been huge. I just think you're right about that.
But it's not only just rattling him. It's like literally he's getting hit as he throws it.
Yeah.
It makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And then you worry about his health as well, too. You know, how many hits he's going to take. But play action pass, the run game, that's been a knock on Shanahan. Not using the run game enough. Too many passes.
The Lions have, as we said, top run defense.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a Brock Purdy game where he has to throw it 35, 40 times this week? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of unique challenges the Lions present. Thank goodness that you can clearly see it's time for the midnight's going to strike.
Yeah.
And that carriage is turning back into a pumpkin. Thanks, Lions.
Or yeah. Brock Purdy?
Lions. Oh. The Lions. Hope you had your fun.
I think it's
going to
be an
season.
Epic game, man.
Hope you'll root for us in the Super Bowl, guys. NFC brethren.
Lions going to be a pass defense, game. Though, is suspect. Their pass their run defense is tremendous, but there might be some holes. That's why Debo is going to be so important this week. There might be some holes in their pass defense.
See, was it last year, the last game of the year, when the 49ers played in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And it was like New Year's Eve or something, and they came out throwing. And, you know, everyone's waiting for them to run. I want to see them do that this week.
You want to really see them throw?
Yes.
Don't even test them.
Come out, throw.
You don't want them to.
I don't want to start the game.
Okay. All right.
Throw. Off balance. Right. Then you start running. Then they got no chance. When we come back, I want to see what Drapes thinks about the – we talked about this earlier, just touched on it. The NFL rule that some say nearly ruined the game last night. Is it time to change it? That and more on the Kings and Hawks as we return to the Golden 1 Center. It's a Drive Guys on SAC. And we're coming to you from the Golden 1 Center. Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason with you. You do watch the game Saturday. Yeah, you probably listened to it here on SACdown Sports, the 49ers and the Packers. Everybody watched the game Saturday. The telecast Saturday night averaged 37.5 million viewers and peaked at 40.9 million viewers, according to early numbers. I guess in TV, you're in TV, I'm not in TV. It's like they get the numbers, preliminary numbers, and then they find out as the day's going, oh, there were more people they can add to them. So these early numbers are sensational. And according to Josh Dubo of the Associated Press, the 49ers' 24-21 win looks like it'll be the most watched Saturday telecast on any network since the 1994 Winter Olympics.
Wow. Really?
We're talking like Nancy Kerrigan and, you know, the Tonya Harding and all that.
Yeah.
Why me? The most watched Saturday telecast on any network since the 1994 Winter Olympics.
That is amazing. Like, and there's been some great games. I mean, it's, we know football is king, obviously, but for that matchup?
Yeah. Total audience was up 31% from last season's Saturday night divisional round game between the Giants and the formerly known as a playoff team, Eagles.
Ouch. Here's the thing, though. The Niners are one of those franchises that transcend.
It's a brand.
Yeah, it's a brand. Exactly. It's, you know, fans coast to coast, interest coast to coast. And I could throw the Packers in there also.
Yeah.
You know, the Packers are a legacy franchise as well. It's not like, you know, it was Niners in Jacksonville or Niners and Arizona Cardinals. These are two legacy franchises going at it. And it's amazing. Whoa, what the? Dog, we do
right?
Radio here, baby. You all right?
It's okay.
What the heck?
What's going
Man,
on?
Man, Tony, you're killing me, bro. Hey, I know you want to get on the radio with us, but you could just ask. All right. Jeez, he scared the bejesus out of me.
I just thought somebody fell.
I know. That's what I thought.
You know, there's not a lot of area for these chairs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but you got two legacy franchises going at it. Meanwhile, the championship games are Sunday, though, right?
Right, right, yeah. Do you think it – I do. I think it probably bothers Aaron Rodgers a little bit on some level that I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm finally out of Green Bay, and they – okay, fine. And then they go to the playoffs without him, and everyone is just raving for good reason about Jordan Love.
Do you think it does, or is he so unaware – that, you know, it doesn't
maybe
even,
petty, but I kind of hope it does.
I hope it does.
Yeah.
I hope he's at home stewing like, oh, my gosh, Jordan Love made it to the playoffs. And it looks like they clearly got their franchise quarterback in Green Bay. And
right.
I don't think, you know, anybody's missing the Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You could argue Aaron Rodgers is probably the most underachieving quarterback that we've had in a while. Just the one Super Bowl?
Right.
Like, he can't be considered among the all-time greats. I know he got a couple of MVPs, but with one Super Bowl?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like
an interesting debate, but I know exactly what you're saying.
He's like the Jerry West of,
wow.
It's like,
yeah,
great, you know, got the
stats, no logo.
The accolades.
There's no Aaron Rodgers logo.
Ain't no Aaron Rodgers logo. But the championships, it's like, you know, Eli Manning got more titles than Aaron Rodgers.
The thing that I remember, too, is remember when they drafted Jordan Love, and it was so disrespectful to Aaron and, oh, how do you do that? Well, it's working out, isn't it?
It's working out, and, you know, the kid looks great. Obviously, he's going to be salty about that pass. But, you know, him and Matt LaFleur, like,
they seem like they got a good thing going,
and it seems like the Packers are set for a while.
Yeah, as I said, as I told you last week, this, you know, right now we got Josh Allen, we got the Allen-Mahomes rivalry. We used to have Brady, Peyton. We used to have way back when, you know, like Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr, whatever.
Yep.
And now Brock Purdy and Jordan Love. It's
is the next one.
Is that it?
Not C.J. Stroud and, you know, Jalen Hurts ain't that old either.
Who?
You're acting like Jalen Hurts.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
The quarterback of the formerly known as a playoff team Eagle.
The reigning NFC champion quarterback.
Technically true. Technically true for a few more days.
Oh, you're killing me, man. You got to take a shot at my boy Jalen Hurts.
You brought him up. I'm just like, wait, what? Oh, yeah.
That
sure,
guy.
Right. Sure.
Right.
There was a controversial play last night. It ended up, ultimately, it didn't impact the game, and the Chiefs won. But the Chiefs driving for what looked like it's going to be a clinching touchdown. Then there's a fumble, one of those. This never happened for like 60 years, and now it happens all the time. Fumble through the end zone that goes out of bounds, which means it's a touchback. Buffalo gets the ball at the 20-yard line. And some people are saying, oh, what a terrible rule. They need to change that, and I guess the NFL has talked about it. What do you think of that rule?
Two things. One, it doesn't make sense.
I agree with that.
But the second part is, I don't know what does. Like, what else that makes sense? Like, does the team that fumbled, should they get it back at the one? Like, what do you do in that situation? I don't know the answer to this one.
I'm okay with it the way it is because it's so screwy.
Right.
And it is. It's like, you got to take care of the ball down
there. Yeah, exactly. You can't be rewarded or whatever. Like, if you fumbled the ball, you got to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what else can you do?
Uh-huh.
Like, if you fumble the ball, you should not be allowed to get it back. All right, it's your ball, but back at the 20-yard line. That doesn't make sense to me.
Are you with me? I never saw that for years and years.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the last, 10 years,
it
happens all the time.
It happens all the time now. It happens all the time. Like you said, though, take care of the ball.
Right.
We wouldn't have this. Like, going into the end zone, take care of the ball. It is a fluky rule, and I don't know how they came up with that. Like,
it's one of those ancient rules, right, that somebody came up with in 19-whatever, and they just, we didn't even know it was the rule. Why is that the rule? I don't know. But even Andy Reid said, was it Hardeman that I think he said he was going for the extra effort, give him credit, but you just can't do that there. And players now are taught. Like, I remember Raider fans remember Carr doing that, like reaching
in.
And it's like, you can't do that anymore.
You get knocked out. Right.
Yeah.
It gets knocked out.
It's just
not
worth the risk.
Yeah. Somebody on the text line, it's the Raider rule, bubbling at the end zone, the Raider rule kid, Stabler, Derek Carr, he's saying offense should get the ball back, but that doesn't make sense to me. Like, because you fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
You coughed it up.
But if the other team doesn't recover, I mean, if it's anywhere else on the field, if I fumble it and it goes out of bounds, I get to keep it.
Yeah, you get to keep it. Yeah. Why through the end zone?
If they change it, they'll probably make it like a touchback, but you get to keep it. But like you just said,
take it back to the 20 or 20.
But I'm actually okay. It's so weird. I'm like, no.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things. Everything else makes sense. That one doesn't make sense no matter what. It just doesn't make sense.
Do you think if that had, let's say Kansas City ended up losing the game, would that have ruined the game? That's what I think Mike Florio was saying today. That would have ruined the game.
Kansas City lost the game?
Because of that.
No, that's part of the game. Why would it ruin the game? The rule's been on. It'd be different if it was a rule that they just made up last year or something. But this, it's part of the game.
And it was so, maybe because I didn't really care.
Don't fumble the ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe because, you know, I just wanted to see a good game. But it was so dramatic when that happened. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Right.
And I, you know, I saw it, and just, like, right away, whoever was a Buffalo linebacker or somebody was going, no, that's a touchback.
That's a touchback.
Like, wow. It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And in that moment, too, you know, a playoff moment, going in for the touchdown, division championship game, and it was dramatic, like you said. And it could have changed the course of the game.
Yeah.
Really,
you know what? I don't even mind the Taylor Swift anymore when they show her. You know, I don't mind that at all.
No.
It's like, no, she's there. I get it. Fine.
Did you have a problem with Jason Kelce being shown all the time or no?
Well, I had a problem with him taking his shirt off.
Right.
He's in a luxury box. Other people are outside.
Right.
You're in a luxury box.
But my guy, Jason Kelce, and nothing better to do this time of year for Jason Kelce. So.
No, he's my guy now since he admitted. He's, yeah, 49ers
broke. The 49ers
broke.
He did not say that. He did not say the 49ers.
I'll try to walk
You're misquoting
back,
him right there.
That's pretty much what he said. We got a chicken or the egg Kings question involving Harrison Barnes when we come back to the Golden One Center. It's a Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Coming to you from the Golden One Center. It's the Drive Guys. I don't know if you can see. Yeah, you see right behind me there is Channel 3's Del Rogers. You see him right there. I don't know if I should say hi to him or not.
Why not?
Well, because years ago, and I know I just shared the story with you off the air. Years ago, there was a media free throw shooting contest when they had the downtown plaza. And it was different, you know, before the arena. And I think Del and I were in the finals. And there was a gentleman that used to listen to the station, a huge Kings fan. His name was Scott. He used to, like, dress as a cow and come to the games and bring the biggest cowbells and, like, get behind the Lakers bench and just bang, 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 bang. And Scott came out to this media free throw shooting contest, and he had the biggest cowbell you've ever seen in your life. It was, like, you know, bigger than any actual cowbell would ever be. And every time Dell was shooting, he was bam, 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 bam. And I ended up winning the contest, and I don't know
oh,
that
you
I've,
won it.
I don't know that I've spoken to Del since.
He's probably still
scared. Man, don't win.
That.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, man.
Reach
Make
on over
man.
Your shoulder,
you know?
Drapes. Go ahead, and throw a peace sign up to him.
What's
up, Del?
How are you, Del? Yeah.
Hey,
hi, boy.
Del, hold on for a sec.
Tell him come on over here. Whitey.
Yeah.
You gotta keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if Del. Yeah.
He said Del's you got it wrong.
It wrong.
He said
yeah. I just.
Yeah. What was the real story behind that, Del?
Yeah. Yeah.
He made the last shot, he said.
The last shot. Yeah.
That's it.
I just remember that there was a fan who was making a little noise when you shot. That probably wasn't fair, Del. Yeah.
His home court advantage, man. You feel bad for winning?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, Whitey, you too nice, man.
What was the prize, Whitey? What was the prize?
It was actually a significant amount of money that you could give to whatever charity you wanted to. And I donated it to a basketball team that I was coaching.
Oh, that is foul.
But no, because I didn't use it, but I used the money to get this team that I coached into a summer league so they could play. Yeah,
I don't
know,
man.
You
sound like one of these AAU coaches nowadays.
I didn't
I
didn't pay the flares. It was an entry fee to get into a tournament.
I don't know.
At basketball.
Should have hit him with the NIL there. Why do you remember wrong with that
NIL deal?
I was totally above board.
Some of these AAU coaches be lining their pockets.
No, I didn't. I didn't profit. I didn't.
Hey, parents, it costs $600 to enter this tournament when really only it costs $300.
No.
No, I've heard of that out there. Right.
You can't prove that.
Right.
I mean, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. I wouldn't do anything like that. But I do remember Del was pretty, obviously, a former pro football player.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Del remembered that story. He's
bang, bang, bang.
Still bothered by that. He's like, Whitey, you got me that day. But that's
all right. I had a little advantage there. Harrison Barnes question for you. I listen, of course, to Stiles and Watkins every day. And today, Chris had an interesting fact. He's looking at touches. And last year, Harrison Barnes was, according to Chris Watkins, if I remember him correctly, HB last year was third on the team in touches.
Uh-huh.
And this year, he's fifth.
Okay.
So it's like, So what do you think? Is HB fifth in touches because his production's down, or is his production down because he's fifth in touches?
Ooh, you know what I'm saying? Craig, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's fifth in touches because his production is down. You also have to look at his minutes.
Yes.
As well. His minutes are down. Mm-hmm. Why are his minutes down? Because his production is down.
Right.
And so I think, I would like, I'm sure they measure this somehow, percentage of touches when you're on the floor, something like that.
Sure.
And so I just don't think, his opportunities have been there as much, and they've been declining and going down because his minutes have been slashed. I'm going to pull him up right now. It's like usage, his usage isn't as high because he doesn't get a chance to be out there as much.
Yeah. And I know people complain about HB and you defend HB, but you've admitted as well. You said, he needs to be better. Yeah. That's one of the reasons the Kings of late seem to be flagging.
Yeah. He's playing 3 minutes less per game now. And let me take a look at the Kings as a team, because I would argue minutes factor into that, if you will. The Kings as a team here. Got it. Minutes played per game.
Right now, Basketball Reference.
Yep, Basketball Reference.
Kyle Draper checking it out here, doing some research.
All right.
Just trying to figure out what is HB. Is he getting fewer touches because he's not as productive, or is he not as productive because he's not getting as many touches?
Yeah, give me one sec. This internet thing is.
I do think one thing that people, a lot of people are wondering, why does he continue to start? And I think he's still their best option. But also, I think if you are, in fact, trying to move him, if that's a possibility, maybe they're not actively trying to move him, but if he's one of the pieces that you'd be willing to move, last thing you want to do is bench a guy, then that just devalues one of your pieces, your assets that you're trying to spin off.
Yeah, 100%. So he's fourth in minutes behind Fox, Sabonis, Keegan, and Malik Monk. Now, Malik, his touches are going to be higher.
Yes.
Because he's running, he's the guard. Like, he's bringing the ball up. He's touching the ball. What's interesting, I would like to see his touches versus, let's say, Kevin Huerter, who's at 23.8 minutes per game. I'm a work on this here.
Oh, Chad, we got an officer on deck here.
I thought that was the high flyer, and I was about to give him some stuff. G-Man, I respect you. You can walk over anything you want. If it was the high flyer, he was getting an elbow, I tell you that. Don't just come.
Thanks for the water.
Yeah, thank you, G-Man. Appreciate that. I was thirsty. pulling up those numbers right now in terms of touches and things like that. Kevin Huerter's only at 23 minutes per game this season. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is your starting two guard. That shows you how much he's struggled. I would argue when you look at his last three games, though, he's been such a valuable part of what they do. Like, I would like to see his minutes go up. I'm going to pull up his game log here. And it's crazy to think he's still only 25 years old. Like, for some reason, it feels like Kevin Huerter's been around forever.
Yes, it does.
His last five, look at this right here. 39, 26, and 39 minutes played for Kevin Huerter.
Because he's making shots, right?
But I thought it was all about defense. No, he needs to make shots to be on the floor. If he's not making shots, he can't be on the floor. And that's interesting. This is a guy that's played 23 minutes a night, and over his last three games, 39, 26, and 39.
If he's making shots, as he has been of late, I'm not really that concerned about the off-guard spot.
You're not trying to move him or anything like that?
No, if he's making shots. Now, if I need to move him in order to upgrade defensively, I'd consider it. But I'd rather have him at what he's making if he's making shots than, say, bring in a Kyle Kuzma. That's just me. But to me, Herter's a much better fit. But I think I still need an upgrade at the wing spot. I know he's 6'7". He's definitely a wing.
And when you say wing, we're talking
front
the
court,
Harrison Barnes spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. With Kevin Huerter, we know he's a shooter. We know he struggled earlier. But the Kevin Huerter we've seen the last few games, this is who he was last year, 40% from three. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're starting two guards averaging 40%,
that's excellent.
40%, you'll take that.
Yes.
Exactly, 100%. And, mind you, he's your fourth option on your offense.
Mm-hmm.
Your fourth option shooting 40%, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. So, as far as HB goes, I think the great Jerry Reynolds said it best. Jerry says, I still would run a few things for him, get him some more touches. We saw him actually got a post up in the last game.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, I think there's room for that. But, as you say, he's way down the totem pole.
Way down the totem pole.
In terms of options.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you're, you know, I know Jerry wants to run plays for him and everything, but he's your sixth option, fifth option. Like,
Keegan's probably past him this year.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, for 100%. Yeah. Huerter's past him. Keegan, Fox, Sabonis. You're running plays for all those guys. And you, so he has to get in where he can fit in. There's an old saying, get in where you can fit in. He has to get his buckets, get his points wherever he can. Because it's not going to be called for him.
I'll tell you what, I can fix the Kings foul shooting. Get
Cowbell
Scott, wherever he is, if he finds that, has that big cowbell, bring that out to Kings practice. You can make shots with that clang.
That's how you, hey.
Yep.
Now, Dell missed his shots? Is that what you're saying?
He didn't make as many as I did.
He didn't make it. All right. All right. Yeah.
I don't mean to say that, you know, like he couldn't draw iron or anything, but I know that I made a few more than he did. Yeah. So. Got that money.
Got that.
That team in that tournament. Coming up, how do the Kings get this season headed in the right direction again? That's next from the Golden One Center as we get ready for the Kings and the Hawks. The Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.